The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi, this is Mike Edwards with another edition of the Armchair Traveler from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. And during the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the Washington Post. Now, before we begin our journey on today's Armchair Traveler, please let me remind you that neither the Triangle Radio Reading Service nor I are endorsing any of the cruises or safaris tours or the travel itineraries that you might be hearing in the article that we're going to be reading. These are selected simply for your enjoyment and edification. Now, on today's Armchair Traveler, we're going to take you to some world-class heritage sites here in the U.S. Now, this was written by Andrea Socks and appeared in the May 3rd, 2018 issue of the Washington Post. The article takes us across the nation to 23 locales that have risen to become UNESCO World Heritage Sites. And as the editors state, they're all breathtaking. Now, today, we hope to visit at least 20 of these 23 locales, and then we'll complete our tour on the next Armchair Traveler. So let us begin. Across the nation, 23 locales have risen to become UNESCO World Heritage Sites, and they're all breathtaking, as Andrea writes. Most likely, you have been to a UNESCO World Heritage Site in the United States without knowing it. Remember that Griswoldian summer vacation to the Grand Canyon, the high school field trip to Independence Hall in Philadelphia, the college tour of the University of Virginia? Congratulations, that's three in your pocket. But don't stop now. You can collect all 23 intentionally or accidentally. For more than 40 years, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization and its nearly 200 member states have been preserving, protecting, and promoting the most valuable heritage places in the world. At last count, the organization has crowned 1,073 sites in more than 170 countries. Of those, 832 are cultural, 206 are natural, and 35 are a mix of both categories. The chosen ones vary tremendously. The whale sanctuary of El Vizcaino in Mexico, the villages with fortified churches in Transylvania, and the Engelsberg Ironworks in Sweden were all part of the class of 1993, for instance. But the diverse sites also meet the convention's strict criterion of possessing outstanding universal value. It's a beautiful thing, the shared heritage of the world, says Michel Rossler, the Paris-based director of the Division for Heritage and the UNESCO World Heritage Center. We are transmitting these sites for future generations, he said. Italy claims the highest number of sites, 53, but the United States isn't too far behind. And not to rub it in, but we do have two more than Japan, despite the Land of the Rising Sun's cultural head start by several centuries. The United States supported the World Heritage Convention in its development and adoption in 1972 and was one of 193 countries to have ratified the treaty. However, the relationship has frayed over the years. In 2011, the Obama administration stopped contributing payments after the organization admitted the Palestinian territories. Then, late last year, President Trump announced that the United States will withdraw from UNESCO by this December, although, as an original signer, the first, in fact, the country will remain its state party status with the, or maintain, rather, its state party status with the convention. Now, this means the U.S. has all the responsibilities and benefits associated with being a state party member, explained George Papayannis, who is UNESCO's chief of media services. World heritage sites in the U.S. remain world heritage, and the U.S. can submit nominations for consideration of new sites in the coming years, he added. Fortunately, UNESCO's obligation to safeguard precious landmarks transcends politics. Even without America's participation, the international community will continue to advocate for the protection of World Heritage Sites on U.S. soil. To show our gratitude, we should give the gift of going. And we're first going to go to Monticello and the University of Virginia in Charlottesville, established in 1987 as a UNESCO World Heritage Site. Why it's UNESCO-worthy? The plantation home and academical village complex, an alias for the University of Virginia, flaunt the architectural genius of Thomas Jefferson, the third president and man of many trades. The neoclassical designs are more than just aesthetic fireworks. They embody his ambitions for the budding new nation. And how do you reach it? Well, you drive or catch a train or bus to Charlottesville and about 70 miles from Richmond. And I will tell you, spending a couple of days up there is just a wonderful thing to do. I I've done it, and it's marvelous. And the best time to visit is late April when the 8,000 tulip bulbs planted in the fall bloom. Pay special attention to the striped variety, which was all the rage during Jefferson's time. And here's an insider tip. No paws allowed on the original artifacts, but feel free to touch the reproductions in the Griffin Discovery Room and the David M. Rubenstein Visitor Center and Smith Education Center at Monticello. Here you can channel Jefferson and write on polygraph duplicating machine, for instance, and create a secret code on a wheel cipher. And all of these devices and other things that Jefferson invented, he was quite the inventor, are there in his little study as you take the tour. And they're fascinating to think about what he came up with. Pure genius. Now on to Yellowstone National Park, which was established as a UNESCO World Heritage Site in 1978. You find this in Wyoming, Montana, and Idaho. Why it's UNESCO worthy? Yellowstone corners the market on geothermal features with more than 10,000 examples, plus the world's largest concentration of geysers, more than 500. The park also excels in the fossilized plants department with nearly 150 species and accommodates robust populations of burly animals, including bison and bears. How do you reach it? Well, the park has five entrances. The north entrance at Gardiner, Montana, is the only portal, open year-round. The best time to visit spring, when visitation numbers are low, the bears are stirring awake, and wildflowers are starting to bloom. Babies also abound in April and May, when several species, including bison, elk, moose, and pronghorn calf. Now, here's an insider tip. Take a dip in the Boiling River, a swimming hole aswish with cold water from the Gardiner River and hot water from a spring. And make sure you're soaking in the river and not the hot spring, which can be banned by the park. Now, there's Coaquia Mound State Historic Site that is next. This was established as a UNESCO World Heritage Site in 1982 in the state of Illinois. Why it's UNESCO worthy? Considered America's first city, the largest prehistoric Native American settlement north of Mexico, once covered 3,500 acres and numbered 10,000 to 20,000 residents. Today, 80 out of 120 earthen mounds dating from AD 1050 to 1200 still exist, including the 100-foot-tall Monk's Mound, the largest earthwork in North America and the only mound visitors can climb. Now, how do you reach it? The site's just a few miles from Collinsville, Illinois, or 8 miles east of downtown St. Louis. The best time to visit, weekdays in June and July, when archaeologists are up to their elbows in excavation, so you get to see them at work. Now, insider tip for independent and interactive exploration, rent an iPod Touch. It's $3 at the gift shop. And time travel back to the Mississippian civilization. So if you like that interactive kind of learning, that's a great way to do it. Now on to Carlsbad Caverns National Park, established as a UNESCO World Heritage Site in 1995 in New Mexico. Why it's UNESCO worthy? More than 119 limestone caves beneath the Chihuahuan Desert, including Carlsbad Cavern and Lekagia Cave, dazzle and delight with speleothems, for example, stalagmites and stalactites, sculptural relief and rock formation, gypsum chandeliers, and geologic features partly shaped by bacteria. The park also contains a section of the Capitan Reef from the Permian Age. That was 299 to 251 million years ago. One of the world's best preserved and most accessible fossilized reefs. Approximately 400,000 Brazilian free-tailed bats vacation in Carlsbad Cavern from late May through late October. And you reach it, if you go to El Paso, for example, it's about a 2.5-hour drive by car. And the best time to visit, September, when the bats are still hanging around, but the crowds aren't. And here's an insider tip. Starting on May 26, park rangers lead free evening bat talks before the winged creatures set out for mealtime. And to watch their return in their acrobatic high dives, you roost outside the bat cave between 4 and 6 a.m. So if you're one of those naturalists who just enjoy these things, there you go. That's a challenge. Now on to the Chaco culture, established as UNESCO World Heritage Site in 1987 in New Mexico. And why is it UNESCO worthy? Well, the potpourri of archaeological destinations here, Chaco Culture National Historic Park, Aztec Ruins National Monument, and five Chaco Culture Archaeological Protection Sites, illustrates the architectural and engineering smarts of the Chacoan people who inhabited the region from the middle 9th to early 13th century. Many of the structures and artworks have endured, including ceremonial buildings, great houses, kivas, and petroglyphs. How to reach it? Well, the closest major city to Chaco Culture National Historic Park is Farmington, New Mexico. That's about 90 minutes away by car. Albuquerque lies 180 miles to the southeast. Aztec Ruins is in Aztec, New Mexico, and that's about 20 minutes from Farmington. The best time to visit, spring or fall, when the weather is halfway between scorching and freezing. And here's an insider tip. The Chaco Culture Park, which was certified as an International Dark Sky Park in 2013, holds telescope-peering events from April through October. At Aztec Ruins, go semi-deep inside the only reconstructed kiva in the southwest. Now on to the Everglades National Park, which was established as a UNESCO World Heritage Site in 1979 and, of course, is located in Florida. Why it's UNESCO-worthy? Well, let us list the ways. The park is the largest subtropical wilderness reserve, 1,509,000 acres, if we're talking numbers, with the most significant breeding ground for wading birds and the biggest continuous stand of sawgrass prairie in North America. It also earns crowing rights for having the largest mangrove ecosystem in the Western Hemisphere and for being the preferred zip code for such rare and endangered wildlife as the Florida panther, American alligator, and the manatee. How to reach it? Well, the park has three entrances in three cities, Homestead, Miami, and Everglades City. Visitors can access all entry points by car in the Flamingo and Gulf Coast districts by boat. The best time to visit, spring, fall, and winter, when the weather is bearable and the birds are out and about. And now an insider tip. At the former Nike Hercules missile site in the Everglades National Park, relive a chilling period in U.S. history when our country aimed missiles at Cuba during the Cold War. Rangers lead walks from December through April. Next up is Grand Canyon National Park, established as a UNESCO World Heritage Site in 1979 in Arizona. Why it's UNESCO worthy? At 18 miles wide and a mile deep, the gorge is a history book writ in rock. Its geologic layers tell a tale that goes back more than 1.8 billion years, including the period 6 million years ago when the Colorado River first raised its carving knives. The landscape is a study in maximalism, with frozen lava flow, water falls and Whitewater River rushing through its veins. And having been to Hawaii and seen lava firsthand, I will tell you, lava flow areas are very interesting structures and well worth your time. So it's something unique if you've not had that experience. How do you reach it? Well, the South Rim, which is open year-round, is about 80 miles from Flagstaff, Arizona, and 212 miles from the North Rim. Shuttles run between Flagstaff or Las Vegas and Grand Canyon Village on the South Rim and between the rims depending on the season. The Grand Canyon Railway offers daily train service between Williams, Arizona, and the park. Best time to visit, spring or fall, when the heat won't melt your inner thermostat and the facilities on both rims are open. Insider tip, give your legs a break and your brain a workout at the Desert View Watchtower, which hosts cultural demonstrations by 11 tribes on the weekends. Now, something that you should be familiar with if you've been in North Carolina for any length of time, the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, established as a UNESCO World Heritage Site in 1983, and you find it in Tennessee and North Carolina. Why it's UNESCO worthy? Well, the lush temperate zone is home to a wildly diverse assortment of plants, bugs, and animals, including 130 tree species, 65 mammal species, synchronous fireflies, and 30 salamander species. Hence, the park's nickname, Salamander Capital of the World. The park extols the virtues of age. Many of the rocks formed hundreds of millions of years ago. And one of my favorite places is near Micahville up in the mountains and Micah Mines. Kind of unique. How to reach it? Well, the park straddles two states. Drive times from Knoxville, Tennessee and Asheville, North Carolina are about 45 minutes and 70 minutes, respectively, and a very nice drive. Best time to visit? Fall for its firework display of autumnal color, or spring for its heavy dusting of wildflowers. Here's an insider tip. Help bring in the new road along a 16-mile section of the Foothills Parkway. What is dubbed the missing link between Ware's Valley and Wallen in Tennessee is scheduled to open later this year. Well, we mentioned Hawaii earlier. Now let's go to the Hawaii Volcanoes National Park, established as a UNESCO World Heritage Site in 1987 in Hawaii, and certainly in the headlines these days because of Kilauea. Hang on, there's more coming. Why it's UNESCO worthy? The park, which climbs from sea level to 13,677 feet, contains two of the world's most active volcanoes, Mauna Loa and Kilauea. The latter volcano has been continuously erupting since 1983 and is spurting from its 4,000-foot summit and the flanks of its east rift zone. The hot effusions are continually retouching the tropical landscape, a haven for native birds and endemic species such as a meat-eating caterpillar, a lava-loving cricket, and the world's rarest goose. And no, needless to point out, the headlines almost daily update us on what's taking place around Kilauea, so you should be familiar with that if you're thinking about this. Mauna Loa, when I was there, here's the thing. Beautiful weather, warm, temperate on the ground, but Mauna Loa up in its atmosphere was having a blizzard, and the road was blocked that day. How about that? Well, how to reach it? Well, the park's about a 45-minute drive from Hilo, and that's on the island of Hawaii, or better known as the Big Island. And the best time to visit, however, whenever the lava is flowing, especially at night, when the lava lake inside Halemaumau Crater cast its orange glow into the night sky, and that is quite spectacular. I was not able to see that at the time, but I've seen pictures, and it is quite interesting. Here's an insider tip. To experience the summit eruption of Kilauea, rise with the sun and head to Jagger Museum Overlook, the lava lake's closest viewing point. And I'm not sure that is available right now. I think that may be one of the areas that has been closed because of Kilauea's latest eruption. You may want to check if that's something of interest to you. Now, back in the U.S. Continental part and going over to Pennsylvania, where we visit Independence Hall, established as a UNESCO World Heritage Site in 1979. And why it's UNESCO worthy? The Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution were debated, adopted, and signed here, setting in ink the founding principles of the new republic. How to reach it? The Georgian-style building resides in Center City, Philadelphia, and is accessible by car, bus, or public transportation. And the best time to visit, January and February, when tickets are not required, or on a federal holiday that pushes your patriotic buttons. Here's an insider tip, not to sound like your mother, but spit out the gum, use the bathroom, and stash your water bottle before entering the secured area. Then we go on to Kluane, Wrangell, St. Elias, Glacier Bay, Tatsunshini, Alsek. Now, this was all established, respectively, as UNESCO World Heritage Sites, 1979, 1992, 1994. And you find this in Alaska and in the Yukon Territory in British Columbia, Canada. Why it's UNESCO worthy? Canada, which is Kluane and Tatsunshini, Alsek, and the United States, which has Wrangell, St. Elias, and Glacier Bay National Park and Preserve, they share the site, which is recognized for having the largest non-polar ice field and some of the longest glaciers in the world. The blue-green white space checkoffs several ecosystem boxes, including marine, coastal forest, montane, subalpine, and alpine tundra environments. Inhabitants include bears, wolves, caribou, salmon, doll sheep, and mountain goats. How do you reach it? Well, the Wrangell St. Elias Visitor Center is near Copper Center, about 200 miles east of Anchorage, Alaska. Only two roads, Nesbesna and McCarthy, venture into the park. To explore the Yakutat coastline and more remote sections of the park, hitch a ride on a bush plane or a ferry. Glacier Bay sits west of Juneau, plane or boat required. And I will say, I've talked to people, and they say if you got enough courage there, you may want to try that bush plane exploration because you see a lot of the territory from the air. Now, the best time to visit, June and July, for the warm weather, pervasive park access, and riot of wildflowers. On the downside, mosquitoes. Mm. Insider tip from the Kennecott Visitor Center in Wrangell, St. Elias. Slip on your crampons and hike the 2-mile Root Glacier Trail, which ends with a legit glacier that you can walk on. Okay, now we head out to the next event in U.S. territory known as Puerto Rico, La Fortaleza and San Juan National Historic Site in Puerto Rico, established as a UNESCO World Heritage Site in 1983. Why it's UNESCO worthy? Spanish engineers constructed the four forts and 20-foot thick defensive wall to protect the city and San Juan Bay from invaders. Castillo San Felipe de Morro, or El Morro, Castillo San Cristobal, Fort San Juan de la Cruz and La Fortaleza exemplify European military architecture with a Caribbean twist. In addition, La Fortaleza in 1533 was the first defensive structure erected in Old San Juan and is the oldest governor's mansion still in use in the Western Hemisphere. Now, how do you reach it? Three of the forts are in Old San Juan and are reachable by foot or free tram. Fort San Juan de la Cruz sits in the Isla de Cabras Recreational Park in the nearby town of Toa Baja. The best time to visit, May through October, the calm before the storming of the cruise ships. Insider tip, follow that wall. The 1.5-mile Paseo de Morro Trail runs from the San Juan Gate to El Morro and back. Now back to the U.S. mainland and Mammoth Cave National Park, established in 1981 as a UNESCO World Heritage Site in Kentucky. Why it's UNESCO worthy? Formed more than 100 million years ago, the world's most extensive cave network offers more than 400 miles of mapped channels in nearly every variety of cave formation, including stalagmites, stalactites, gypsum needles, and mirabolite flowers. The 52,830-acre park is also a natural obstacle course in sinkholes, cracks, fissures, and underground rivers and springs. Now, how do you reach it? Well, you drive about an hour south of Louisville. Louisville is a fun place to visit too, by the way. And the best time to visit, the temperature inside the caves remains at a constant 54 degrees, so you can visit during winter and not feel chilled or crowded. Here's an insider tip. If you don't suffer from a fear of the dark or claustrophobic spaces, sign up for the Wild Cave Tour, which takes visitors into more extreme and less traveled subterranean sections. Then on to Mesa Verde National Park, established in 1978 as a UNESCO World Heritage Site in Colorado. Why it's UNESCO worthy? The ancestral Pueblo people left their mark on the Mesa Verde Plateau with more than 5,000 archaeological sites, including 600 cliff dwellings dating from AD 450 to 1300. The park is also a canvas for petroglyphs, which are visible along the Petroglyph Point Trail. How do you reach it? Well, the park entrance is about 15 minutes by car from Cortez, Colorado, and 45 minutes from Durango, Colorado. The best time to visit? Late May through mid-October, when four of the cliff dwellings invite the public to come up 7,000 feet for a visit. Insider tip, reserve a coveted spot on the Cliff Palace Twilight Tour, held during the enchanting sunset hour from May 25th through September 8th. Monumental Earthworks of Poverty Point. This was established as a UNESCO World Heritage Site in 2014 in Louisiana. And why it's UNESCO worthy? Hunters, fishers, and gatherers constructed the ancient settlement 3,400 years ago on Macon Ridge, which overlooks the Mississippi River floodplain. Native Americans moved the soil by hand to construct mounds, C-shaped ridges, and a large central plaza. The cultural capital was a center of trade, commerce, ceremonies, and catching up with friends. And how do you reach it? Well, the site is in Pioneer, Louisiana, and that's about 100 miles west of Jackson, Mississippi. The best time to visit, the season's bookending Louisiana's sauna summer. Insider tip, scaled the 72-foot-tall Mound A, known as the Bird Mound, the second-largest mound by volume in North America. Now on to Olympic National Park, which was established as a UNESCO World Heritage Site in 1981 in Washington State. Why it's UNESCO worthy? The park spreads its wings from ocean coast to temperate rainforest, alpine meadows to glaciated mountain peaks. It boasts one of the world's largest stands of virgin temperate rainforest, some of the biggest coniferous tree species on the planet, and nearly 75 miles of Pacific coastline for the beachgoer who can go, go, and go. How to reach it? Depending on the entrance use, Olympia is 60 to 190 miles to the east. Best time to visit, April and May, when the gray whales are cruising by on their way to Alaska. Here's an insider tip. Ski, snowboard, or tube-bound Hurricane Ridge Ski and Snowboard Area, the most western ski resort in the lower 48, and only one of three inside a national park. Now, here's one that takes a whole page just to write the name of it. It's Papahanao Maya Kakea, and why it's UNESCO-worthy, as it was established as a UNESCO World Heritage Site in 2010 in Hawaii. The Papahanao Maya Kakea Marine National Monument makes some noise for its cultural and natural attractions, which are spread out and under 582,578 square miles in the Pacific Ocean. The largest fully protected conservation area in the world throws a protective blanket over an underwater volcanic range, part of the Hawaiian Emperor Seamount Chain, 3.5 million acres of coral reefs, habitats for flora and fauna unique to the Hawaiian Islands, and rookeries that provide a landing and breeding pad for 14 million seabirds. On land, the islands of Nahoa and Mokukumanamana archive Polynesian and Hawaiian artifacts and traditions, such as Hau shrines and stone carvings. How do you reach it? You can't without a permit for conservation, management, education, research, and cultural pursuits. And I will point out, they make you sign some documents when you prepare to land in Hawaii. They are very protective in many, many ways of agricultural products, the ecology, and you name it. They mean business about keeping Hawaii a very pristine site. The best time to visit 24/7 if you're a fish or a spinner dolphin. Here's an insider tip. You can sample Papahana Maya Kakea elsewhere in the Hawaiian Islands at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Mokopapa Discovery Center on the Big Island. That's Hawaii. Fish from the monument called the 3,500 gallon aquarium home sweet home. So you get to see these in an unnatural setting, but it's naturally presented, of course. The Waikiki Aquarium's Northwestern Hawaiian Islands exhibition presents an interactive kiosk dedicated to the protected area, and the Maui Ocean Center created a new Papahana Maya Kakea exhibit with a topographic map, photos of the inhabitants, and an explanation of its name. In Honolulu, the Bernice Puai Bishop Museum displays stone figurines from Mokumanamana. Kena Point on Oahu's North Shore bears a close resemblance to the National Monument's coastal shorelines, including lounging monk seals and nesting albatross, and it's just a spectacular thing to see. Well worth your time. Well worth your time. Redwood National and State Parks, established as UNESCO World Heritage Site in 1980 in California. And why it's UNESCO-worthy, the 131,983-acre sanctuary for coastal redwoods protects nearly half of the tallest trees in the world. The Pacific coastline and coastal mountains round out the surf and turf landscape, which attracts Roosevelt elk, sea lions, gray whales, and salmon when the fish are running. How to reach it? Well, the Thomas H. Kutzel Visitor Center on the southern boundary is 312 miles from San Francisco and 40 miles from Eureka, California. On the opposite end, the Crescent City Information Center is 112 miles south of Medford, Oregon. The best time to visit, unless you're waterproof, avoid November through April 15th, the rainy season. Here's an insider tip. During the summer, sign up at the Huachi Visitor Center for a free ranger-led inflatable kayak tour on the Smith River. And I must point out, if you've read the headlines in the last few days, there are those tremendous wildfires in California that are affecting some of these parks, and so I would carefully check out these locations before you decide on visiting there, okay? And, wow. Well, we are going to have to stop there and pick up probably in the next section with our next places. We're going to be going to Texas to the San Antonio Missions, then the Statue of Liberty in New York, Taos Pueblo in New Mexico, the Waterton Glacier International Peace Park in Canada, and that's shared with Montana. So all of that coming up in the next episode of Armchair Travelers. So please join us as we continue our tour. So thank you for joining us today. Hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Mike Edwards, and I've been reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service on the Armchair Traveler. The content of our program and intended for people who are blind and print impaired. And the broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at the website triangleReadingService.org. Comments and questions can be directed to 919-832-5138. Bye-bye.